This episode of Food for Thought is brought to you by the listeners of this podcast, and that means you. Thank you for valuing this podcast and keeping it going by supporting it at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau, or you could just go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com and click on the donate button. Today's topic is vegan in the city of angels, plus some important announcements. Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau, and I'm your host. My work is dedicated to empowering people to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness, and you can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. Hello, lovely listeners. I miss all of you. I hope you are doing fabulously well. I have a few announcements that are very important that I cannot skip, and I hope you don't skip them either before we get to today's topic. Number one is we have a new website, and I encourage you to check it out. Just go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. If that's too hard for you to spell, just go to joyfulvegan.com, and it will forward to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com. Please join the mailing list. You'll get a free Joyful Vegan Starter Guide when you do. And two other things I would be most grateful for. Sign up for notifications about blog posts or podcast posts or video posts. Really, you're just subscribing to the blog itself. It's different than subscribing to the mailing list, which you'll see on the homepage. For the subscription to the blog, you have to go to one of the blog pages or podcast pages. And on the sidebar, you'll see a field that says never miss a post. And if you enter your email address, you'll get notifications whenever I post a new blog post, a new podcast, a new video event, or whatever. And I've been posting a lot more lately. So you can subscribe and get notifications whenever I add a blog post. Also, over the years, I have received countless love letters from you, which, as you know, I read once a year in a love letter podcast episode. Well, now, because of the new website, and this is a feature I really wanted, you can add a letter along with a photo of yourself. You'd basically be adding a testimonial, a story of transformation directly on the website. You write it and you upload your photo. Just go to Stories of Transformation under About. And the value of this is that website visitors will be able to see the impact of this work right away. And so I'd love your voice to be added. There is a word limit, but of course you can still write to me via the contact page with longer comments and questions. But I would love to see your beautiful shining faces all over my website. So I ask that you add yours. Again, go to About and then Stories of Transformation. Number two, our second announcement is our vegan Thailand trip is getting closer to being real. For those who attended the Compassion Immersion Retreat this past May, check your email for a sneak peek at the website that has all the details and the itinerary. Once those folks have had a chance to look it over and decide if they want to reserve a spot, I will open it to the public. I am using this group as a bit of a testing ground. If there aren't enough people who show interest at this stage, I'm not really sure it's going to be a go. So it's all in the hands of the 100 people who attended the event in May, and we'll see if there's enough interest for this fantastic trip that we have created an amazing itinerary for to go to Thailand with me and my husband in October 2017. So I will provide you with more details once I announce it publicly or once I announce publicly that it's a no-go. Number three, and this is the most important announcement. I have decided to create another podcast separate from Food for Thought, one that is focused solely on our everyday words and expressions and how they reflect and affect our relationship with animals. The podcast is in the works, and I have already written several episodes, and it is called Animology. It is a huge focus of my work right now. The TED Talks that I'm writing, the book that I'm writing, and now I feel that this topic is important enough to have a podcast of its own. It's a very unique topic that I think I go to places that no one's really ever gone to when it comes to our language about animals, and I think it's an incredibly important topic. I believe it will attract a completely new and broad audience of people interested in language and get to hear how aspects of our language affects and reflects our relationship with animals. And I think it will hold up a mirror to listeners and hopefully have an impact on their thinking and then hopefully on, of course, our treatment of non-human animals. My plan is to have it live by mid-January 2017, and I wanted you to be the first to hear about it. I'd love to hear your thoughts about what you'd like to hear. As I said, I'm working on it right now, and I have a pretty clear idea about its structure and content, but I would love to hear from you. This is your chance to contribute your thoughts to what this podcast could be. I'd love to hear what you have to say. So if you go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com and you go to either the page for this episode under podcast or go to the contact page, please submit your thoughts and comments and questions. The podcast episodes will be shorter, possibly, although you know you can't stop me when I've got something to say. So it's really going to be a matter of what plays out. The ones that I've written so far, some are short, one's a little longer. We'll see how it goes. But I think whatever they are, they're going to be more frequent. So for those of you who've been lamenting that Food for Thought has slowed down, lament no more, because you are going to get sick of hearing from me, because this is dominating my life right now. And I am so excited by the places it's taking me in terms of what it means for our relationship with animals. There are resources involved in the creation of this podcast. I have to hire a graphic designer to create an appealing graphic. I have to increase my storage space for audio files. I have to pay an audio engineer. And of course, there are countless hours of research. I have been working nonstop day and night on both the writing I'm doing for the website, obviously working on the content for Animology, the content for producing Food for Thought podcast, as well as everything else on my plate. I'm going again to CBS in Sacramento to do a TV spot for Thanksgiving. I don't get paid for any of this except for what you provide as a supporter. So if you can please go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com and click on the donate button and give either a one-time donation or become a monthly supporter. Your contributions are not in vain. I work endless hours to give you what I hear from you is telling me is changing lives and thoughts and minds and hearts. And I do this because this is my life's work and you are making it possible. So new supporters, certainly when Animology starts, will get every single podcast transcript of Animology and continue to receive those from Food for Thought. That's of the $10 and above monthly. So thank you for your support. Number four, I will be in South Africa in January, and some wonderful advocates have set up an event there on January 4th, 2017, and we will gather from 5 to 7 at the Plant Cafe for wine and nibbles, and I'll be giving a short presentation. There are more details to follow, but if you go to the events page on my website, you can find out what you need to, and I hope that if you're in South Africa, you can join me. Another really important announcement I have to make. I've lost count where I am in my announcements, but because of you, Food for Thought podcast has won a Veggie Award for favorite podcast from Veg News Magazine. And that award is basically because of you, because it's a Reader's Choice Award. And I'm so grateful to you. And I'm just so proud of this podcast that is in its 10th year, still a favorite of Veg News Magazine reader. So thank you for that. And let's celebrate that. That is just incredible. So those are my announcements. I cannot wait to hear from you. Again, go to the website, sign up to receive notifications about new posts, so subscribe to the blog, upload your story of transformation. Let me know what you'd like to hear the new Animology podcast. And number four, please consider supporting this work. And now on to Los Angeles. You can see photos from our trip that I'm going to talk about in the blog post called Vegan in Los Angeles at the website. And quite frankly, I am stunned. I'm shocked that I have not done a podcast already about LA, maybe because no one needs to, because it's so obvious how vegan friendly LA is. And I'm quite envious of all the vegan options they have, and they keep growing. And it frankly makes me really angry because I'm so jealous, because the variety of restaurants, now granted, LA is quite large and there's a lot of sprawl. And so it's not like you know, there are a million right next to each other, but still there is a lot of variety and I'm impressed. My love of California continues to grow. I am incredibly, incredibly grateful to live in this state. I fell in love with California in 1990, which was 8 years before I moved here. I came with a girlfriend after high school and completely fell in love with the state, and I made a vow to move here, and I made it happen in 1998 when I moved here with my husband. I didn't know that was how it was going to play out, but that's what happened. And I love every minute of living here. I'm grateful. I'm proud to live in this state. And we moved to Northern California and we love it. And of course, there's this definitely friendly rivalry between Northern California and Southern California. And I don't think anyone around here takes it too seriously because we all love where we live. And I think that's really important. If you can't love where you live, then you should live where you love. And I love living in Northern California. When I first came to California, I wasn't a huge fan of Southern California. And I would say quite a few years ago, David and I made a decision to find out what there was about LA that we could fall in love with. And we've done it. And I really, really like LA. I have no desire to live there. And I'm thrilled that we have the opportunity to visit between his work and my work. Every few months we tend to go down. You know, it's a very quick flight for us. I hope someday we have a bullet train to take us down there in 1.5 hours. That is the hope of the bullet train from San Francisco to LA. We'll see if it happens. But as it is now, we can drive there pretty easily in our Prius, or we can take a flight. And this recent visit was particularly special because we were celebrating several joyous occasions. It was our 15-year wedding anniversary, as well as the wedding of a dear friend of mine who married the love of her life, who I take some credit for, which, yeah, I take some credit for. I helped her rewrite her profile on a dating website, and she met him right after that, and I take some credit for that. So it was really, really wonderful to go down there for her wedding. This is a good friend named Jackie. Some of you may even know her. She works for Follow Your Heart, which is a fabulous, fabulous company. I'm so impressed with this company and so proud of her and happy she's at a company that has so much integrity and, of course, creates such delicious food for all of us. So Follow Your Heart. Go check them out. So we went down there for Jackie's wedding and used it as an opportunity to also work. And here are some highlights from our trip with recommendations for your next visit. Now, people often ask me where we stay. We stay in Santa Monica mostly because my husband's company has an office down there. So that's where he's able to go to work. And so we stay in Santa Monica, not a bad place to go. It's absolutely beautiful. I absolutely love Santa Monica. And we stay at the Huntley Hotel. It's great proximity to, I mean, literally it's a block from the beach. It's just a block to all the shops, but it's on the edge. It's like right at the edge of all the hustle and bustle. And it just butts up right against the residential neighborhood. And it's a gorgeous residential neighborhood. And it's really my favorite place to run. I could run like 10 miles through these streets because they're flat. And we live in Oakland. We don't live in San Francisco. So, you know, we don't have the quintessential hills of San Francisco, but we have hills. Even my street has an incline from the very bottom of it to our house, which is about 1.5 miles. And my run every day is about 5 miles. You can feel the incline. It's tiny, but you can feel it. The residential neighborhood right next to the Huntley is flat and I love it. So I really, really enjoy the run when I'm in Santa Monica. I know it sounds really crazy that I don't run on the beach, but I don't know. I just like being in a quiet space. It's very crowded. There's a ton of people on the beach, on the walkway. I don't know. I just really like running on the streets. And I do see some of the water when I'm going. I do dip down at one point. There is one hill that I go down and I dip down and I see some of the water, but then I go back to the streets because there's like nobody there. And I really prefer that anyway. So the Huntley is a great hotel. There's a rooftop restaurant slash bar at the Huntley that is one of the city's most popular. So to get really crowded on Friday nights. And that's usually when I feel my most inadequate because people like they dress up to go to the Huntley, which is lovely. I love that people dress up and get all gussied up to go out with friends and partners, but I don't. So it gets pretty crowded, but we were there on a Friday night and we had no problem finding seats and getting served. So even if you don't stay at the Huntley, I do recommend you going up to the bar just to see the view because it is incredible. It's an absolute view. And if you're a lady, go to the ladies' room. I don't know what the men's room is like. Go to the ladies' room because the view from the handicap stall is the best view of the Pacific Ocean from the entire rooftop restaurant. So go to the bathroom. So we were there staying and we put together an impromptu happy hour on Friday night and it was really lovely because some of you listeners and followers and just fellow Compassionistas met us there, and it was just really lovely to see all of you. And so that was Friday night, and I do tend to spend a lot of time up there writing and trying to not get distracted by the beauty of the Pacific Ocean. It's not the most vegan friendly of restaurants, but there's always something to eat. So I often find salad, or I veganize the pizza. I was there for breakfast, but you know, I really just got, to be honest, I got a juice, but you can get, there's oatmeal there. They have soy milk. They have fruit. They have, what else do they have? They have a few other things. I can't remember, cereal and et cetera. But if you don't go there for food, that's fine. I think it's worth just going there for some drinks. For our anniversary dinner, David surprised me with reservations about what's probably, I wouldn't say a new favorite, but definitely one of my favorite. We had a really lovely experience at, I'll tell you in a second, but first I want to acknowledge all of you, my favorite listeners, all of you, which is all of you, which works out well. I want to thank you for subscribing to Food for Thought, assuming you have already, through iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher. I want to thank you for listening. If this is your first time, or if you just listen and you don't subscribe, thank you. And of course, I want to thank you for supporting it, because you are making it possible to do this work. And I want to thank everyone at every level, especially to our platinum supporters, Tim Anderson and Jennifer and Ben Ellis, Sylvie Raquel, Valentina Zenkel, Ulrich, Renee Marinkovich, David Cabrera and Alexander Gray, Michal Stone, Katie Schleif, Anne Toswell, and Peter Liu of Peace Food Cafe in New York City. You are all making this work possible, as well as work to come. So please go to ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com and click on the donate button. So there are a lot of good vegan restaurants out there in LA, or and just out there in general. But for me, a great dining experience has to combine ambiance, lighting, service, location, food and drink options. And never having been at Crossroads, I have to say it ticked all those boxes. We were going to go to Crossroads, Crossroads Kitchen, I suppose is the full name, back in July during the Animal Rights Conference, but we weren't able to go because, again, depending on where you're staying, it's in West Hollywood, so it's not always the easiest and most convenient to get to. Tal Ronan, who is the chef founder, he was kind enough to give me an endorsement when my book Color Me Vegan came out, and we've never met, and I'm really bummed, but I've been meaning to get to his restaurant for years, and it really was a lovely and generous surprise from David. I didn't expect to leave Santa Monica, because, you know, then you have to drive everywhere. And but he surprised me, and we had a very, I wouldn't say tense drive, but we definitely had an intense drive with our driver talking politics. This was all before the election, so it was an interesting drive. But it was all good, and we got there, and everything about it was fantastic. The ambiance was warm and romantic. The lighting, I love dim lighting. You should see my house is all about like dimmers and lamps. Like I don't like overhead lighting unless it's a chandelier and there's on a dimmer. I just really love things dark and glowy and golden. And that's totally what Crossroads was. It was beautiful just stepping into it. The service was good. She was attentive without hovering. The drink menu was extensive. The food was really, really good. Now we had some pretty simple dishes. We really could have gotten anything. I do tend to eat, even when I go out, even for an anniversary dinner, I would say it was pretty simple just because I still pick salads and roasted vegetables because that's what I like. So we had, well, I had the kale salad. David had some, but I ate most of it. It was such a good kale salad. It was actually a kale Caesar, and it was chopped really finely. So it felt like a micro kale Caesar, and just really flavorful and delicious. We had roasted cauliflower. If there's roasted cauliflower on the menu, I can't resist. We had flatbreads with different spreads, which was lovely. We did get the butternut squash ravioli. I feel like we got one more thing. I can't remember. And then we had the brownie, which I thought was really, really good. So we'll definitely go back. Definitely jellies that y'all have Crossroads, not only for dinner, but for brunch. And wait, brunch during the week? Like, that's unheard of here. Like, we're hard pressed to find a place to go to for brunch. Yes, we have Millennium. It's hit or miss. And it's been mostly miss lately. So we don't always want to go to Millennium. And then everything else is just super, super, super casual. And that's great. But frankly, I've just been making waffles at home for my husband instead of going out. But we do tend to go out with friends for brunch. And You have brunch places, but Crossroads does brunch not only on the weekends, but on the weekdays. That's crazy. So, jealous. Jellies. So, returning to Santa Monica, that first day we arrived, I needed to find a place to work. And if it's not obvious yet, I'm very particular about my surroundings and my workspace. So, I wanted a place. So here were my boxes with outdoor seating, because I have to be outside, free Wi-Fi, because, you know, close enough to walk from my hotel, because I have my, you know, my bag and my computer, and it's heavy, and I'm not going to drive, or I'm not going to take an Uber or anything. And of course, vegan options, because I needed to eat. In this case, we had just arrived, we had flown in, taken the Uber to our hotel, dropped our stuff off, and I was like, okay, I'm hungry, I need to go eat. And I decided to go to Tender Greens, which I won't go back to again. There's a Tender Greens, I think it's a chain. There's one in Walnut Creek, which is not far from me. And I never go there because it doesn't look that vegan friendly, but mostly because it's right next to Veggie Grill in Walnut Creek. So why would I not go to Veggie Grill, right? So, but I was like, okay, I looked on the menu online and the food looked, you know, there were definitely vegan options, but the food was mediocre at best. And the smell of steak and other, oh my God, like other dead, well, you know, burning flesh, even while sitting outside was pretty gross. And so whatever, it was fine. I got some work done. I was outside, but I didn't love it. And I didn't want to just move around, and I didn't want to go back to the room because I'm in Santa Monica. So I don't want to be in a hotel room. It's just depressing. So the next day I needed a place with the same criteria, but I did opt to work at the Huntley in that rooftop hotel. I should say that they have this roof that actually opens completely. Well, not the whole roof, but this huge part of the roof. So you really do get the flow of the outdoors. Air is good. But you've got this view of the Pacific Ocean, which is pretty nice. So I actually stayed there for a few hours and worked and had some tea and juice. And it was lovely. But then I was meeting David for lunch. So I worried about where to go. I was actually already worrying about where to go after lunch, after we ate, because I knew that was going to be the next step. So we decided to eat at a new-ish restaurant in Santa Monica called Flower Child. Definitely a much better lunch option over Tender Greens, and it's only like a block away. So it's all downtown Santa Monica. And I wouldn't necessarily sit there to work. There's like way too much going on there. It's a really good, effective, efficient, quick lunch place for the people who work in town. But the food was really good, and there were a lot of vegan options, and there was a lot of variety. The staff was super friendly. They were really adorable. The space was very bright and open. David had a grain bowl of some kind, and I had, yeah, this is definitely a pet peeve I have. For non-vegan restaurants, they did this at Tender Greens too. I don't remember. So you go to Tender Greens, you look at the menu, you look at the board, and you know, there's falafel salad or falafel sandwich. There's a salad with this. There's a salad with that. Everything, you know, it's all veganizable. But then in addition, they have a salad called the vegan or something. And I'm like, why is that different than the falafel salad or the other green salad? Because you call it the vegan, and who's going to be attracted to that besides vegans, especially when the other, like the other salads have vegetables and they're vegan. And it just makes it seem like it's this special, you know, club that all the vegans get that one. Like that's just like throwing some meat to the wolves. Like really, like I can order other things, call other vegan friendly dishes by beautiful names, the way they call the other dishes by beautiful names. And I'm not saying the word vegan isn't beautiful, but it's exclusive and I don't like it. So what I actually ordered at Flower Child was called the vegan ingredient. Now there were like 10 other dishes, you know, between the grain bowls and the salads and the whatever that were vegan, maybe even more than that. And they had it marked on the menu. So you could very clearly see what was vegan or veganizable. And then they have a dish called the vegan ingredient, which is like, what? Didn't even make any sense. But I ordered it because it had what I wanted. So it was good. But yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. I would do it differently. But no one has asked me to help them do it differently. Maybe I need to tell them. So I liked Flower Child. I'd recommend it. And I wouldn't recommend Tender Greens. Then Friday night, I mentioned that we had the happy hour, which was lovely. After our happy hour, we went to Irvin Restaurant, which has taken over the old Real Food Daily space. And when I went to all the times we went to Santa Monica prior to this trip, prior to Real Food Daily closing in Santa Monica, that's where I would go and spend hours people watching and working and eating good vegan food. And it's closed, which is very sad. But there is a new restaurant in that space called Irvin, E-R-V-E-N, I think. It's the chef's last name. And it's vegan. It is a vegan restaurant. So that space still holds a vegan restaurant. I honestly cannot remember what we had. I should have written it down. We had, I think, chickpea fritters. I had some kind of bowl. The flavors were very good and very interesting. I was impressed. Clearly, I've forgotten what I had. I remember there being a real Asian influence, which I like, and a real thoughtfulness around the flavors and the combination of flavors. So I liked it a lot. I worry that nothing stands out about it to make it a major draw, but maybe I'm wrong and I want to be wrong because I want it to succeed because it's a vegan restaurant being headed up by a non-vegan. Both neither the owners nor the chef are vegan. And yet they are doing a vegan restaurant here. So I want it to succeed. So forgive me for not being effusive in my praise for the restaurant, but I really liked it. And I would absolutely recommend it. And we would absolutely go back again, not just because it's a vegan restaurant. Goodness knows there are plenty of vegan restaurants I have not patronized because for one reason or another, they weren't good. And I would only recommend to you places that I think are worth recommending. So I would highly recommend checking out Irvin, and they had a really good wine list. I do remember that. So once we were downtown, because we left Santa Monica after a couple nights there, and we went downtown to sleep there because our friend's wedding was in Pasadena. So we were a little farther, you know, we were a little more inland. And so we didn't want to have to drive all the way back to Santa Monica. So we stayed at a downtown hotel, and we had a really good time staying downtown. Now, downtown LA, it's probably like downtown Oakland. You know, 15 years ago, there was like dust, like in the streets of Oakland downtown at night on the weekends. Like nobody was there. There were people who had worked there during the day and the weekdays, but there was nothing going on at night and people didn't feel safe walking around. There just wasn't anything interesting going on. There's been a renaissance in Oakland, which is of course something I'm very proud of and happy to take advantage of. And there's been a renaissance in downtown LA. It's been going on for a long time in both cases, but it's really coming into its own. And it was really lovely to be there. One of the things David and I tend to do when we travel, even when we don't travel, because we do it here in the Bay Area as well, is we take walking tours. So we sign up for walking tours because what you have is usually a person who is just so passionate about the city they're talking about. And, you know, there's different themes usually also. You can pick a different theme. And you just see things you would never see otherwise, even when you're just walking around. Now, we did walk around a bit on our own beforehand, and there's so much beautiful architecture in downtown LA, especially if you like architecture. So we did see some things before we met up with him, and I think I'll come back to that. But when we went on the walking tour, there were definitely some highlights. I would recommend this guy. Let me see if I have his name written down. It was called, I think if you just go to Downtown LA Walking Tours, I might have it by the end of this. Yeah, Downtown LA Walking Tours. Pretty good memory I have. So I recommend them. Just type that in. And it was basically a tour to highlight the founding, kind of the early days of LA and how it was founded. So it goes back, you know, into the, obviously the 19th century. But there were some highlights for me. One of the highlights, I had never been to Union Station, which is the most gorgeous train station. And frankly, what he told us, which is true, it is the last great train station of the United States, because basically after that was built, the cars came and the roads were expanded and the highway was built, you know, the great interstate highway was built, and we stopped taking trains. And it's something I love trains. And yet when you look at how much time it takes to take a train, say even from here to Sacramento, of course it's actually, it takes more time to take the train than it does to drive, especially if you have to stop and change, which you don't always. I would prefer the train over driving because I just hate driving so much and I really don't even do it. Part of the reason I just walk everywhere. I just don't have to drive, luckily, because I work from home. But when I asked him how long it took to take the train from San Francisco to LA, he said it was 10 to 12 hours, depending on which route you take. And that's just not, yeah, unless we just really have all the time in the world, maybe someday we'll do that. But it's a real problem. And again, that's why I support the bullet train that's supposed to, I don't know, 20 years from now, go from San Francisco to LA and, you know, and back in an hour and a half. So much more ecologically sound, more environmentally friendly than taking a plane, but it would be in the same amount of time. So fingers crossed. But I love trains. I find them very romantic, even though I'm also aware of all of the horror that took place when the railroads were being built, not only in terms of exploiting the workers and immigrants and people who were quite literally undocumented and enslaved, basically, and what it did to the rural landscape and what it did to people's houses and farms. I mean, read The Octopus if you're interested in California history. Frank Norris's The Octopus, which is fabulous. And yet I still love trains because they're just, I don't know, find them very romantic. And Union Station is just an incredibly beautiful train station, but I had no idea some of my favorite films were filmed there and even screened there. And I'll get back to that. So there are a lot of contemporary films that use this one part of the train station to film either a train station or a courtroom. I hadn't seen any of the contemporary films that he named. I won't even name them here because you'll probably have seen them. I didn't know any of them. Neither did my husband. We watch a lot of old movies and we watch a lot of film noir. And so Union Station is where many of my favorite film noir films have scenes in them. And this was so cool. I'm just going to rant for a minute because I don't know. This was just amazing. So one of my favorite movies from when I was very young, in my teen years, with my best friend, we were both, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, it doesn't matter, I'm proud of it. We were both huge Barbra Streisand fans, okay? That was me in my teen years, okay? So we were Barbra Streisand fans and we watched every one of her movies together and just loved her. I think she still has a huge, she's still a huge fan. I've kind of grown out of it, but I still love watching, some of my favorite movies. And The Way We Were was one of my favorite movies. And I had David watch it a few years ago. It's a great movie. It holds up. It's just this wonderful story of two people who just really love each other, but they just can't be together. And a big part of it is because he just wants to kind of live and have a life and be happy and not really worry about too much. And she's an activist through and through. And so it just really resonated with me. And it's just a great movie. So there's a pivotal scene in the movie where she's in Hollywood because they meet in New York and he's basically a novelist, but then someone else persuades him to go to Hollywood. I can't remember if it was her, maybe her. Persuades him to go to Hollywood to write a screenplay. He does. And so they're in Hollywood and their life is completely different, of course. And there's, you know, she's disgusted by what she's seeing because she's seeing things that just people who are just consuming and they don't seem to care. And these are, of course, the elite and people who are just not really paying attention to politics. And so she gets involved, despite his protestations, in the fight against the anti-communist movement. And so she was there at a protest at one point to support the Hollywood 10, who were blacklisted from being part of, you know, from doing their work because of all the blacklisting that was going on at the time. And so there's a huge press conference, there's press there and there's the protest and there are cameras, and he's, you know, well known at this point because he's, you know, written a couple of screenplays and it's a big deal because the press is there, and there's a fight because someone calls her a name and he punches the person who calls her a name. And so the cops just shove them into this diner so that they could just hash it out, the two of them, Barbra Streisand and I almost said Hubble Gardner because that's his name, Robert Redford, who plays Hubble Gardner, and she plays Katie. And they have this argument in this diner. And it's a pivotal moment in the film. But we step outside Union Station. We go across this little alcove, and he shows us what's now really just an event space, but it was once a well-known restaurant. And I'm looking at this place and I'm like, this is where they filmed that scene. Like, I know this is where they filmed that scene. This is the restaurant they put them in to just argue. And they had this argument, this really pivotal moment in the scene, in the movie. And I was so like, oh my God, this is so exciting, because I recognized it. And there's really nothing that noticeable, except there's some beautiful tile on the outside. So I searched and searched. Finally, you know, it's been confirmed. And I watched the clip from the movie and I'm like, yes, that is the restaurant. So I was pretty excited. I was pretty tickled. And so you go over definitely many places in LA for sure. It's not hard to find places where things were filmed. But because I like old movies, we were pretty excited about the film noir movies that have been filmed there. And to recognize this, the places and the spaces was pretty cool. The public library in LA is absolutely beautiful. The courtyard at the new Disney concert hall was incredible. And we haven't been there yet for a concert, but that's going to be on our list for the next visit. So if you've been to Disney concert hall, I'm jealous. And I can't wait to get there. But we did go upstairs to the courtyard, which is stunning, just really lovely. And then we went to the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels, which has this whole political history around how it finally got built. And it was really funny because I have a knack for being able to recognize things, you know, just even if there's just something, just to trigger something. We were at this cathedral, newly built in the last 10 years, and I thought, this looks just like the newly built cathedral of, it's called the Cathedral of Christ the Light in Oakland. And it was a big deal because it was architecturally very unique, and it's built right on Lake Merritt, which is the center of our downtown. And it's a beautiful structure. And I went in there once with a friend and was incredibly moved by the design and the architecture inside that church, inside the Cathedral of Christ the Light in Oakland. And so we step into the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels in LA, and all we had to do was step up to kind of the outside courtyard. And I was like, this has to be the same architect. I can see it in so many ways. Anyway, it turned out it wasn't the same architect, but apparently the cathedral in Oakland was influenced and inspired by the cathedral in LA. And I was right. So it's really beautiful, worth, again, going inside. What was really moving for me was that Gregory Peck and his wife, Veronique Peck, are interred there. There's basically a columbarium down below. Underneath, there's a crypt, and you can go down there, and of course, you can be buried there. And it was very moving. So I was really moved by that. So we went on this great tour. Now, the Disney Concert Hall is right across the street from Olak, which is a wonderful vegan restaurant. We had been there before. There's another one also in, I believe, Orange County. And so if you haven't been there, it's the first word is AU, the second is LAC, Olak. And we had a lovely lunch. And then we could have also gone to Shojin, but Olak was, first of all, we were looking forward to going to Olak, and it was right by where we were. But Shojin is lovely. We've been there before. Apparently, we've been to the one in Culver City, but apparently the downtown location is better. We haven't been there. But we went to Olak, and I highly recommend it. And we will hopefully go to the Olak in Orange County, because we have not slept in Orange County yet. And if you remember, we have a goal to sleep in every county in California. And so we will go there when we go to Orange County. From Olak, we headed straight back to our hotel to pack up our things and hop in an Uber to the airport. And so here we are back in Oakland and happy to be home. We did find out, it's so funny how these things happen. There's a name for it. Isn't there a word for this where you'd never see anything before and then you discover something new and then you see it everywhere you turn? So we hadn't been to Union Station before, hadn't really even been on our radar. And then we're on the mailing list for the Film Noir Foundation because we support them and love them. And we go to the Film Noir Festival every year here in San Francisco. But the founder does a lot of work down in LA as well. And so David got an email and he noticed it right away, like while we were coming home, I think like on the way to the airport or something, that announced that they're doing some screenings of some of our favorite Film Noir films at Union Station. So one of them is called Union Station, and it stars William Holden. So if you're interested, we won't be able to get back down there for It. Actually, I think we missed that one. The other one is a really fantastic film noir. If you like film noir, it's called Too Late for Tears, and it stars Dan Duryea and Elizabeth Scott, who is the best femme fatale ever on screen. And apparently at the screening of the film at Union Station, Dan Duryea's son, I think his name is Michael, will be there. I think it's on December 2nd, but we're not going to be able to get back there for that. And we're really bummed about it, but we're just going to have to watch it again at home in the comfort of our den. And we will certainly get back to LA because we really love it. So that was our recent trip to LA. Of course, there's so much good food down in LA. I'm certain I'll do another episode talking about more. It's not hard to find all the options that are down there. I feel like we've eaten at some of the best joints there, but there is always room in my belly for more compassionate food. So until then, until next time, be sure to subscribe to Food for Thought. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. And definitely connect with me on social media and at my website, ColleenPatrickGaudreau.com, for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick Gaudreau. Thanks for listening.